Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
It's again with this Dawson's Creek. Today's episode is season 2, episode 21. Changes in our house.
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hi.
You know, there are days when we record like 6 episodes. This is only the 3rd, and this is where we are.
No. I take responsibility for blaming Dave, which I will do right now. I have some thoughts on that episode title, but first, and in order to buy myself some time to calm down, let me tell you this. About again with this. There won't be a bonus episode this Friday, because November has 5 Fridays. But again with this episode 218, dropping December 6th, we will be watching Jack Wagner in Hallmark Drama's Christmas Cookie Matchup, because why wouldn't we be?
Yeah.
And so should you be as well. It is on Daily Motion. We will link it in the show notes. And I hope that you will join us for that and the hundreds of other episodes that we have on file, againwiththispodcast.com/club. Naming your episode changes is fucking lazy and I hate it, and it's an insult to David Bowie and his memory. That's it. Over to you, Tara.
We were so crazy at the start, we forgot our fabulous new What's Happening on Patreon soundbite, so let's just do it backwards.
I have something really exciting to announce.
All right. That was it, what you just heard.
My tight 2 on this title, because it is a very frequent trope, I guess. It also happens to be the spine line in the December 1990 issue of Sassy, which we are currently discussing on our sister podcast, Listen to Sassy, is that it should be cha-cha-cha-cha changes.
Yes, thank you.
They're always four one cha short.
They are.
All right. Let's get into this episode. Even though it's already tainted, starting with our A plot, there's only one plot. And that plot is as follows. It might be time to say goodbye to the McPhees, but not to Jen. Also, we're almost done hearing about Dawson's filmmaking for another season. It's going to be nice to have a break.
Yeah, only because the season is ending, but still.
That's true.
We'll take it.
We open on a Rick and Elsa scene from Casablanca as Dawson reminds himself of the prompt for his final paper for film class, clip 2.
Compare and contrast Humphrey Bogart's character arc in Casablanca to one in your own life. Use examples.
That's a journal entry. That's not a film assignment. That's some bullshit.
Yeah. Also, just say the character name.
Yeah.
Like Humphrey Bogart's character.
Yeah.
No.
This is why she's not a real teacher, everybody. But Dawson launches in, unfortunately, clip 3.
Example 1. Miss Kennedy. Character starts out as a sadistic film teacher slash father's new girlfriend who maliciously conjures up a finals assignment for the sole purpose of slowly torturing her helpless nemesis, played by Dawson Leary, to death. An example of a purely evil character with absolutely no arc whatsoever.
I mean, this was less unlikable than you would think, given that it's Dawson and he, like, I mean, I've done that too. That it's like, in this paper, I will prove that Professor Rassenfressen is a fucking asshole. Control A, delete. I mean, we all go through a process. Unfortunately, yeah. His often ends up on film and is overcomplimented by others. But this was sort of relatable.
I also think calling her father's girlfriend is overstating things. I mean, maybe there was talk of having her come back, but we know in our timeline that the last episode was her last episode. We do not see her again on the show.
Yeah. And like, yeah, they had that awkward date, but there was really no Leary marriage. Maybe I'm just like blocking it out because it's boring and not what the show is about, but yeah, I agree.
Anyway, after he does delete the whole paragraph, he, what else, rakes his fingers through his hair and then flops over to the bed asking Joey, who's just trying to do her own fucking homework, why we work the hardest to impress the people who dislike us the most. Because we're trying to change their minds. This is not hard. kind of answered it with the question.
Yeah.
Joey says his film final should be his easiest assignment and suggests that he interview somebody. And Dawson seizes on this idea, saying that if he does it on camera, he'll at least get points for ingenuity. Well, first of all, that's not the assignment. And second, I'm not sure how ingenious an idea it is to film someone for your film class. Like, if you're trying to do a film for your biology class, okay, that's ingenious. But this is just what you're supposed to be doing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Against Joey's will, Dawson tries to interview her, saying she's had a character arc this year. Joey says he already put a version of her on screen and without her consent, but instead of getting into that, he asks again in his boo-boo kitty voice, and she agrees, leaning into the lens and wishing him luck before heading out the door. That's not what we do on this show, madam.
Yeah.
The next morning, Andy comes into the kitchen to the jump scare of her fucking dad sitting at the table. Damn, Jack, give the girl a heads up. That is not a cool way to start the day.
No.
When Joseph says he's there to see Andy, she reminds him that he is not welcome. He says he's worried about her. She chirps that Jack and Pacey helped her through her rough week so Joseph can leave. Joseph says this is serious, and Jack, materializing in the doorway, admits that he called him. Andy is hurt and then disgusted when Joseph euphemizes her mental health crisis as her situation, but he doesn't want to discuss this now. They should start packing. This is the first Jack has heard about Joseph wanting them to leave. He says that Jack will stay for his finals and that Joseph will arrange makeups for Andy, who he says needs perpetual supervision right now. Guys, with the thesaurus, I mean, be normal, round the clock is the phrase.
Yeah. I mean, perpetual care is what you say about someone's mausoleum at a cemetery. Like, literally is.
Yes.
No.
Anyway, Joseph is not asking. Andy glares at Jack on her way out, and he sputters that he didn't know before drifting out himself. And then at school, Dawson is trying to interview Jen. She is no more into it than Joey was, given that the year hasn't been the greatest for her. But then she changes her mind, saying she should talk about this. He raises the camera and circles obnoxiously as she says, clip four.
Does it all begin that day? I mean, how am I ever going to be able to forget that all this drama began to unfold? I don't know. All of a sudden, I just understood it.
Did what?
Cut it off.
Cut what off?
My hair.
Ten.
Oh, I'm serious, Dawson. Making a major hairstyle change like that is a very traumatic event in a young girl's life.
I mean, it's turned into one. It's really growing out badly.
Oh, God. I mean, and the styles of the time are not helping, but there just is like visibly weighty amounts of product. And then just like little flower bobby pins from the Alloy catalog stuck in at angles. This is not an easy face to style so that she looks frumpy, but they're managing it week after week. Oof.
Yeah, it's so mumsy. I think it's so cute in the credits. Like that length is really cute when it's when it's shorter, it's curlier too, and I think that also helps. And now it's just like she's like Kate Gosselin vibes, and that's not where you want to be.
It's like they immediately, first of all, regretted it, and second of all, even though this happened like years later, I think that they were just like, it was just this Felicity thing where the network was like, nope, grow it out. So they're trying to work with that, but it's a long journey, I remember.
Yep. She is probably looking forward to the hiatus to get some length going or some extensions.
Or some extensions. Yep.
Anyway, back to the episode. There is more to it than hair, believe it or not. Then Jack is putting Dawson off more politely than he deserves. So Dawson goes back to Joey, who refuses again. Dawson then pretty easily gets Pacey into an empty classroom to talk about how he remade his image. Pacey refuses any credit for his transformation, saying all he did was find Andy to inspire him. Clip 5.
Classic hero who changes for the love of a woman.
Not exactly, bud. Every day I wake up, I'm holding my breath just waiting for somebody to expose my fraudulent act. You know, lock me up for it. Figure out that this whole thing was just a big lie.
Yeah, we can do this later. Are you all right? What's going on with you?
Ever since me and Andy, well, I mean, literally collided, she mistook me for someone else. And she gave me somebody to be, and now that she needs my help, there's not a damn thing that I can do for her. I'm failing her, Dawson. You're gonna have to find yourself another hero.
I will give Dawson some credit for once, turning the camera off and actually asking his putative best friend what is going on with him. But okay, look, first of all, this whole episode felt like it was short and they're just like taffy pulling even more than usual. Like it came in at like 36 and they're like, find a couple more syllables in the thesaurus. We're running short.
Yeah.
It's just imposter syndrome. You could just say that once instead of doing what I feel like is 14 variations on the same scene with different personnel. Anyway.
Yeah. Or just say, like, I'm worried that I'm not good enough for her. Like, that's that whole speech, basically.
Yep.
So Pacey walks straight out of this conversation to Andy, who tells him what just happened with her dad. When Pacey ushers her into a classroom, she spins out, but also seems to think there's no hope of doing anything other than what Joseph has stated they're going to. Clip 6.
Andy, what is it that you want to do?
What do I want to do? Pacey, I want to stay here. Get help here. I want to be with you. I mean, the thought of us not being able to be together is...
So, Andy, we fight him on this. Okay? This ain't over yet.
He wants to leave tomorrow, PC.
Okay. That's fine. That's fine. Andy, it's fine. It's fine. Because when he hears what we have to tell him, he's not taking you anywhere.
Okay.
The idea that, like, wherever they are on the Cape is that far from Providence is insane. But leaving inside the geography of it, like, he already left them alone with their mother who needed perpetual care.
Yeah.
Like, what? I mean, what is it that the show wants us to conclude about? I can't ever call him Joseph. He's Angry McPhee to me now and forever. What is it that they want to think about McPhee Sr.'s, like, quote, rights in this situation? Like, yeah. I understand that he's the parent and they're minors, technically, but he fucking ditched them with their very sick mother. Tell him to pound sand.
Yeah, I mean, sure, but I mean, I think their only other option is to try to become emancipated minors and see how that goes. You know, like, they do still depend on him financially. Like, there's a lot of magical thinking, I think. Like, that's the part of the episode that I think is done well, where it's just like, well, we'll just make our case, and then he'll have to, like, have you met this man? Like, no, he's not going to change his mind.
Yeah. Well, and he's like, business, sitting at the dining room table in his chonky laptop, and you're just like, yeah. Okay. I mean, yeah, I have that in my notes, like, despite being, like, on a premise made of sand that's washing out with the tide. It's, like, really acted well.
Yeah.
It just is taking too long to do what it needs to do and makes no sense when you think about it for 2 minutes. But that's kind of the show all the time.
That's true. Later, Jack is looking contemplatively out to sea when Jen joins him and offers a bite of her Subway. And if that is product placement, it's real subtle. We only see the sandwich from far away and it's, like, not wrapped in the signature paper. So it's a weird thing for her to emphasize, possibly in ADR. Anyway, having lived through the Chuck plot lines, this seems like practically, well, subtle, like I said. Or,
well, home sewn. Yeah, sure. A little bit.
Much better. Yes. Jack catches Jen up on his storyline. She says he did the right thing. Andy might get better now, and maybe if Jack and Joseph start living together again, they could reconcile. He says them in the Middle East, too soon. Ooh. And then changes the subject to Jen, whether she plans to live at Dawson's forever. When he mentions her parents, Jen says they made it clear how they feel about her when they sent her to Capeside. Jack says she's different now, but Jen says that after Graham's kicked her out, there's no chance. Jack says maybe they have changed too. And then at the ice house, Joey greets Dawson and proudly shows him the space Mike is remodeling to be a music venue they're inventively calling the lounge. Cough. Joey can't believe Mike has become a Saturday night sitcom father, and Dawson is happy to see her so optimistic. She goes back to work, and Mike introduces Pete, his old friend from the Merchant Marines, who is helping Mike build the teeny tiny stage. Dawson asks to interview Mike, and he readily agrees, but needs Dawson to do something in return. And he hands him a level, and Dawson turns it over in his hands, asking Joey what it does, which is pretty funny. There is a better joke on Friends in a few years when Rachel hires a handyman to baby-proof her apartment, and when the guy's on his way out, she notices the level and stops him because he forgot his game. She gives it to him. Anyway. Over to the McPhee house, Jack lets Pacey in and guesses from his expression that Pacey is up to speed. Pacey asks how they stop the move. Jack doesn't think they can. Pacey also knows what it's like to live with a dictatorial father, but there's too much at stake for them to give up now. And this is when we see Joseph has drifted in from the dining room to interrupt that it's precisely why they have to leave. Pacey introduces himself, and after a handshake, because it's handshake season, clips out.
God.
I know all about you, son, and I appreciate your vehemence regarding my daughter's situation, as I'm sure you appreciate my own concern.
I do, absolutely. I'm just wondering why you're making her leave now, like this.
Because her doctors in Providence suggested that we waste no time getting her the proper care.
Okay, so why not here?
Because I'm not here.
But she has friends here, a whole support system.
Are you suggesting those things are more important than family?
No, sir. I'm just suggesting that Andy's built a family here, one that I'm a part of, and I can help her.
She is my responsibility.
Well, with all due respect, sir, you knew of Andy's condition when you left her and Jack here. So to take her home now because you suddenly developed some sort of guilty conscience is not fair.
Not fair to whom? To my daughter or to you? Because you're just too selfish to let her go.
You're absolutely right. I'm not just here on Andy's behalf. Because if she left me, I don't know what I'd do. So I guess I'm begging you for both of us, sir. Please, let Andy stay.
I'm sorry. My mind's made up.
I'm not sure the, hey, you're a shitty dad, Gambit is the one to go with. My God.
Well, but also he has like almost no reaction to it. It's like he's sort of like, well, this was the, you know, this was the decision and we're seeing it through. Like,
right.
What? Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't, I mean, this isn't like a loss leader on a quarterly report. You're talking about people who shouldn't be left unsupervised is A. Mm. But B, I will point out once again to everyone involved in the situation that Providence is really not that far. It's an hour from where you're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Hour and a half, maybe.
Yeah.
Just get on the ferry.
Right, she has
like
a car.
Did earlier in the season.
Yeah. She could take herself to an appointment, presumably. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's probably a long commute. It's not that long.
Yeah.
Whatever. Apparently, Jack's musings made Jen think, because then we're in the Leary kitchen as Jen calls her mom. Clip 8.
Yeah. Yeah, I figured that she might have called you. I'm staying next door with the Learys. They've been really great. No, they don't seem to mind at all. Actually, that's what I'm calling about. I was wondering if that. I mean, I know it's been a while since we've talked about this, but I was just curious as to what the situation is with me coming home. To stay. You and Dad.
Oof. Brutal.
It gets worse.
Yeah, brutal. But again, this is a minor. Like, why does the show sometimes act like everyone can do what they want, and other times it's like, well, she's actually just applying for an apartment on Craigslist.
Yeah.
She's 16. She can't just live wherever. Okay.
Back to the lounge. Dawson hammers himself in the thumb and bitches that he sucks at this. Joey has just announced that she's into the macho working man thing when Mike says he's ready for his interview. When Dawson has gone to get his camera, Joey and Mike examine his efforts and clip 9.
That's not going to work.
I know. Don't say anything.
Keep it. Permanent soundboard.
I mean, that's kind, but this is also how people like Dawson skate through life thinking they can just get away with whatever. Because no one ever does say, thank you for your help, but it has to be redone because you are bad at this.
Mm-hmm. We got it from here. Please go film something somewhere else.
And then he does on camera. Mike says everyone makes mistakes. Some are just better at it than others. He thought he would literally die of shame having lost everything he loved. He didn't want to believe it, but he was a weak man. And even if he could turn things around, he didn't know if his daughters would ever forgive him. Joey stops spectating and takes off, and Mike and Dawson just sit there uselessly. Back to the McPhew house, Joseph announces to Jack that the move will put the family back together. Jack says Joseph could stay in Capeside. Joseph says he can't leave his business, which, by the way, they've never even said what it is. It's just the business, and it's failing, and he's focused on it.
It builds office balconies, Tara, and it's an extremely important part of the television economy.
I mean, that does explain why it's failing, I suppose, but yes, fair enough.
Not why it has to be in Providence, Rhode Island, but no. Okay. Smallest business share in the smallest state? At a question mark? I don't know.
Yes, Sam from Melrose Place is going to go check out the showroom and then bring one back. Just, oh, no, that's Maryland. Never mind. Another small state. Anyway, Jack offers suggestions, ending by saying that if Joseph really loved them, he would stay. Joseph claims there's no one in town who can help Andy. Jack offers Pacey, which, do not put that on Pacey. He is a child. That's not his job.
Needs therapy of his own, probably, thanks to Sheriff Witter.
Probably. Jack adds that he needs to offer Andy a choice, and I'm not on this jerk's side because he's a jerk who abandoned his family, but that's not how it works with parents and kids. You don't always get a choice. Like, yeah, that doesn't mean
no, she's
parents
not a
are
toddler.
Right.
That's not. Yeah, yeah. No.
You get what you get and you don't get upset. Unfortunately, sometimes you just wait until you can move out and then do what you want with your own chosen family because that's not what you get to do when you're 16. Sorry.
No.
Also not what you do with, no offense, people with various, very serious mental health issues. And yes, Joseph has been ignoring that part all season, but he is paying attention now and making points. Clip 10.
Your mother and your sister need serious medical attention, and you're certainly not going to get the help you need here in Capeside.
Help? Exactly. What kind of help do I need?
That's not the
point.
If
you could talk to someone about your problem.
You know what? Just don't even go there.
Just hear me out. Look, I understand that you're confused with these gay ideas.
And the only problem that I have is the problem that you have with me being gay. Look, this isn't about me anyway, or you. It's about Andy and what's best for her. God, Dad, let her make the choice. Let her make the decision. You know how damaging it would be to take her away now? Away from Pacey?
I hardly think a teen romance is the solution to her medical problems.
Her solution will come from the people that love and care for her. I know that's not your specialty, Dad.
To be clear, one of the points that he's making is not that Jack needs therapy because he's confused about his gay ideas. That's not what I meant. For the record.
But yeah, he is doing that. And yeah, Jack's making points too.
Mm-hmm. Upstairs, Pacey can't believe he and Andy are just sitting there waiting for their doom. Andy faintly says Pacey could start studying for his finals, but he would rather spend their last night taking her on a proper date. Andy starts to say she has too much to do, but when Pacey deeply sighs, she changes her mind. And then we're back to Mike's interview, where Dawson is asking what drove him to his lowest point. Joey's mother, Lillian, was getting worse and they were running out of money. And suddenly Joey bursts in and reminds Mike that he had said he would bring dinner for Bessie and the baby. And Mike asks to pick it up later with Dawson. When he is gone, Dawson notices Joey is perturbed. Wow, twice in one episode. And clip 11.
What's the matter?
Look, this whole Dawson Leary investigative reporter at large thing, it's intrusive. Why are you making my father relive such an excruciatingly painful time in his life?
That's the heart of the piece, Joe. I'm trying to get a complete picture of a man who's changed so completely and so heroically.
But don't you understand? I don't want to live in the past. We've worked so hard to close those doors and move on.
God, Joe, I'm sorry.
If you're so hell-bent on making this assignment about something real, then why are you basing it on another person? Why don't you just do the obvious? Turn the camera on yourself.
I can't.
Why not?
Because.
Why not?
Because I'm afraid, okay? I'm afraid that I'm not enough for you and that I never will be, all right? And if I do this, you're just going to realize that you've grown way beyond me and then I'm just going to lose you again.
But she's not going to see the footage of your assignment because she's not Miss Kennedy.
Right.
Is A. And B, this is totally out of character for this arrogant smurf, but whatever. All of this is dumb.
It really is. Yeah. I mean, her point is just stop messing in. I mean, it's once again the signal Joey characteristic of like, I don't want Capeside to know my business.
Right.
Even if it is just Miss Kennedy, an extremely off-screen character we're never going to see again. And Dawson mm-hmm. having no empathy for that because his life is perfect or was until his parents, oh my God, got divorced.
Mm-hmm.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Then Jack is visiting Andy in her room as she gets ready for a date. She is in a much better mood since we saw her last because she asked Joseph off screen if she could stay and he said he would try to work it out, which seems like we'll see, aka no, but Jack takes it all at face value. Clip 12.
Well, that's great news then, huh?
I guess.
Andy, wait a minute, you can't actually tell me that you're thinking about leaving.
I don't know.
Come on, I think the decision here is pretty obvious.
Is it?
Yeah.
I mean, most days I feel fine, Jack. I do, but I'm not fine. In fact, I'm getting worse. And I think that whole Tim thing is just a clear indication of that. And the ironic thing is that the more time I spend here with everybody and with Pacey, the more I want to get better. You know, because I don't want to drag him down with my problems.
I don't think Pacey feels burdened by you, okay? I know I don't.
But I do. I feel burdened by the knowledge that I know how hard it must be for you guys to have to take care of me. And that's why I've decided that I think that if I leave, you should stay.
No way. You're my family, okay? You go, I go.
What about what you want? I mean, you're always so selfless, Jack. Will you promise me that you'll think about yourself this time?
Did you think that this was like negotiated. I mean, first of all, it shouldn't have been off screen, especially since they were obviously running short. So maybe shoot that scene and show it to us. But it felt to me like she had negotiated with Angry and was like, fine, I'll go, but you got to let Jack stay here.
Oh, I
Did
didn't
you get that sense at all.
No, I didn't read it like that, but that does make sense. If that's the subtext.
Probably just me like trying to retro engineer some sense of the reality of teenage custody arrangements onto the show that just doesn't map onto it.
The argument against that possibility is the later scene when Jack is making the case to Joseph directly and it becomes an argument.
Yeah.
Versus if he had agreed with Andy, it would have just been like, yeah, okay, sure, you know.
Yeah, and probably would have just like put her in the car and left a note on the counter that was like, well, deal's done. Call, you know, yeah. I'll wire some money or however they're doing it. So, yeah.
Yeah, to me, this is just like everyone is hearing what they want. And Joseph is saying whatever he thinks he needs to say to get out of whatever conversation he is in. Which, again, is why it would have been helpful to see the conversation. Instead of 17 takes of fucking Mike Potter being sad for Dawson. Elsewhere, Jen is trudging back to Graham's house with her two sad little bags and crying at the door. And finally, she turns back around and hoarsely says, bye, Grams, as she leaves again. And at the ice house, Mike compliments Dawson on having learned what a level is for. Dawson and his thin sheen of sweat, and then apologize for making Mike dredge up painful memories, although Vanderbeek seems to think the word is dridge, and he has no geographic excuse. He's from New Jersey, unless he heard it for the first time from one of the local hires whose accent is dridgy. I don't know. Mike tells Dawson not to worry. He thinks about that stuff all the time anyway, and the truth is he's not sure how much he's actually changed, but he's trying to be a better person for his family. Mike goes for a walk, and then Joey is there. Dawson admits that he's embarrassed he overshared earlier. Joey tempts fate by saying his fears are unfounded. She has never been happier. Her dad is back, the family's together, business is good, and she has Dawson. All that's missing is a white picket fence. Dawson just wants to make her proud of him, and she says she loves and believes in him. She's not just proud of him, she's proud to be with him. This is really laying it on a little thick. I mean, I know this is all setting up the finale, but still.
Yeah.
And after they kiss, she adds that he could be a great carpenter one day, and even this idiot knows she's roasting him. And then Joseph is calculating when Jack sidles into the room and announces that he is staying. He doesn't know what Andy's going to do, but he's not going, and Joseph doesn't intend to leave Jack alone at age 17. He'll be selling the house, in fact. Jack doesn't care about that. He can't live with Joseph the way things are. Joseph doesn't really make a great counter-argument. Clip 13.
With your mother's illness and Andy's problems, and even with Tim's death, those I could find reasons for. But with you, I feel like I'm to blame.
But you aren't.
If I'd just been around more.
It wouldn't have made a difference. I'm gay for the same reasons that Tim wasn't. Okay, it just happened that way.
But there are people who change. They go back.
I'm hardly the encyclopedia of the gay experience, but I'd wager to say that their change is skeptical.
How do you know? Unless you try.
I don't want to try. Okay, you want me to try.
Because I cannot understand how anyone would choose that kind of life.
I didn't choose it. The only thing I chose was just to be happy. Look, I can't go back with you because slowly but surely, I am going to sacrifice my happiness for yours because I want you to be proud of me. I do. But not under your terms.
All right, that's not what skeptical means. You mean dubious, but
spurious.
Other than that, I mean, this scene, I remember at the time being just like absolutely infuriated by Angry and everything that he stood for. And he is infuriating and wrong. And the way that they're writing him, that he's like, if only he'd been around more. Like, again, I have to point out, this was I would say an option, but it's not an option, it's the law. You're supposed to, you know, not neglect your kids, but his hope that this is just going to, like, that this is just another problem to mm-hmm. be addressed by total quality management. And then there is that sort of like, you know, why would you choose this kind of life for yourself? Like, as ignorant as it is, it felt rooted in someone's actual past
for
and
sure.
conversation
yes.
about this issue. And the actress did a good job with it, I thought.
Yeah, I think there's that's a version of a speech that I've heard before where it's like, I don't know why you mm-hmm. would choose such a lonely life or whatever, you know.
Right, I'm afraid for
intolerant
you.
Intolerant straight right. people, especially again, I mean, this is the late 90s, things are changing, but like, I'm yeah. worried about your safety, like all that
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not that he says that. Not that I think he's no. even trying to think about that part of it.
But, no.
But yeah, I thought this was well done. I mean, I don't necessarily buy that Jack would be like this, I don't want to say certain, that he would be this able to advocate for himself this early
yes.
in his coming out journey. You know, to just
yeah,
be like,
I
will not. Like, that's a strong line for someone to draw. People who are much older than him never do, and like just continue
yeah.
suffering, you know, with families that don't accept them and stuff. So, you know, I appreciate that the show at least modeled it, even if it wasn't 100% realistic, let's say.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those, like, first of all, it's episode 21.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we all live in the world and we know what that means.
Yep.
So that's A. And then B, this is just the show, again, putting 33-year-olds' concerns in the mouths of people half that age, because that's who is in the writer's room and
yeah.
how they do it.
Yeah.
And this is just a little advanced for someone in high school
mm-hmm.
to be like, I won't live with you in this sort of like toxic emotional dyad. Like, a 16-year-old
right.
child is not really
mm-hmm.
evolving that for himself at that point, I would not say.
No. So Jack starts to leave. Joseph stops him and Jack waits. But after 20 seconds or so, Joseph just gives up on trying to find the words and sits back down. And that, I thought, was the best part of the scene, where he's just like, I know I need to say something, but I can't. I don't, like, I do not have the capacity to say the thing that needs to be said right now.
Yeah. And I desperately want to give this hug,
mm-hmm.
but I'm afraid that it'll be gay. Like,
yeah,
that's your
yes.
kid, you
right.
weirdo. But
yes.
that's just a very like boomer dad, just like vibrating with the desire to not be this jackass
mm-hmm.
and then gives in to the yep. jackassery with which he was raised.
In town, Andy walks Pacey in his crushed velvet shirt, which was the style at the time, to the spot where they first danced and kissed. They both remember how happy they were and how much better they know each other now. Pacey asks her to dance again, and she instantly starts crying. She's just so happy to be with him, and sad too, because she loves him so much and she can't hide from the truth anymore. She's not getting any better. She's also crying because she's going to leave tomorrow. She has to. Pacey knows and kisses her forehead, and they agree on no goodbyes, and they hold each other. And you can see in the visual aids that Joshua Jackson is holding Meredith Monroe so close that his nose is like fully squished down on her forehead. And it's weird, but it's also sweet.
Yeah. And they paid for a certain, whichever ovary is wailing us into the credits. And
yeah.
so they're getting the maximum out of the rights for which they paid. So the scene is like half again as long as it needs to be, but they are cute.
Yep. The next morning, when Joey comes out to get the paper, she sees Dawson's already out there and, in fact, has been there all night. And he makes her close her eyes and walks her out to the yard, where he has somehow used his 3 hours of shitty carpentry skills to build a white picket fence. She somehow did not hear him hammering all night. Whatever. She loves it. They kiss. Who cares? This would never happen.
It's probably uncharitable of me to point out that you can buy segments of mm-hmm. unfinished fence at Lowe's, and then if he just bought two and threw some paint at it, that would mm-hmm. also explain why she wasn't awakened by his inept hammering.
Fair enough. Over to the bus station, where Jack runs through the crowd to intercept Jen before she boards. Clip 14.
Well, looks like your parents said yes.
Not quite. I called my mom, and she casually informed me that now is not a very good time for me to re-enter her life. And And my dad said that he's still getting over my last day with them. I told him I was different and that I wouldn't be a worry this time. He wanted to know if this was just a ploy to get more money every month.
Jan, I'm sorry.
I just figured, screw it, right? Look, I don't need them as my destination. If I'm going to leave Capeside, then what's holding me back?
You don't have any other place to go?
No, I've got every place to go. There's just nobody there.
That's a pretty good line.
Great line.
I was impressed.
Do we know how he knew to find her there?
No, we don't.
Okay. Another scene we could have seen instead of Pacey and Andy crying into each other's eyeballs again. But okay. Choices were made and I wasn't consulted.
So Jen's about to hand the driver her ticket when Jack pulls her out of line, and clip 15.
Okay. I often wonder how my mama reacted if she was aware of what was happening with me. If she was mentally capable of comprehending it. I don't think she'd have a problem with it, because my mom loves me for the best reason possible. No reason at all. See, that's how our parents should love us, Jen, unconditionally.
So as it sounds, most don't.
But as much as it hurts, it's worse for them.
It is worse to be incapable of loving than to not be loved.
Wait. No, Jack.
Well, I am, I'm taking you back to my place. It's pretty empty. And, I could use a roommate. What do you say?
Yeah.
I mean, that'll be nice and for the 2 weeks until the house gets sold, and then you can figure mm-hmm. something out. And, you know, spoiler, they do, but still, that's sweet.
Yeah. And again, I don't think that anyone is this evolved at that age necessarily, and I still would like to know how he knew where to find her. But as you pointed out before, it is important that these lines, even though they're a little bit neat, are being said and told to this audience. That's like, yeah, it's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, this is a huge part of how culture advances the culture, you know, like that mm-hmm. you have people that you see modeling the ideas of like, there's nothing wrong with you and it's not mm-hmm. okay when people treat you this way. And
yeah,
that doesn't necessarily
mean parents are bogue and it's not your fault. Yeah. Totally.
Mm-hmm. So the bus pulls out without Jen, and it's sweet. And then Dawson's letting himself into the ice house to return Mike's tools. When he opens the door to the lounge, it's just in time to witness Mike inspecting a bag of drugs! White drugs!
Oh, no. The worst Dawson kind.
Dawson rakes his hands through his hair, of course, and leaves the area, and then runs into Joey outside, and they kiss. She can tell something's wrong and asks what, but he lies that it's nothing and she pretends to believe him and they hug. At the McPhee house, Joseph packs the car while Andy and Jack hug goodbye. Joseph very deliberately takes Jack's hand, but then just leaves it there. No shake, still counts, handshake season, and then announces clip 16.
I'm not the best father. I True. Know that. But I do want you to be happy.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah. Does seem kind of resigned to the idea that angry works on a bottom line, like, vector mm-hmm. with this stuff, and this is the best he's going to get? I don't know.
He's not going to stand in his way or try to put him in conversion therapy. And again, that's more than some parents in this position mm-hmm. do, sadly.
Yep.
Andy's about to get in the car when Pacey races up. Clip 17.
I said no goodbyes.
I don't want to say goodbye. Just one look at you. I wish I had some eloquent parting words for you, but all I could think of was this. Thank you. Thank you for everything you've done for me. Thank you for forcing me to be the man that you've made me. Just Thank you. I am so grateful to you, Andy.
Oh, I don't want to let you go, Pacey.
Just remember your promise, okay? You and me, together again, happy, healthy, and more in love than ever.
I'll remember.
You go get better, McPhee. And then you hurry back to me.
Oh, get in the car, please.
She asks him to kiss her, and he's like, nah, just getting the kiss. Checks that his heart is beating like it was the first time. And he wipes the tears off her cheeks, and then she gets in the car, and we watch from its POV as Pacey and the jeans pooled around his ankles and also Jack wave goodbye. Somehow, that is not the end of the episode.
So the jeans are pooled around Jack as well, because credible statement. Just, so huge, you guys.
It's like a puddle spreading. And so he also gets engulfed. They're real big.
Yeah.
See him in the visual aids. Somehow that is not the end of the episode, and we have to go back to this fucking turd. Clip 18.
We're taught to believe that in the movies, the main character goes through an arc and changes. But what if that's not true? By the end of Casablanca, Bogart's the same lonely tough guy that he always was. His decisions didn't change him, nor did his actions. They simply revealed what was always there. A man who wanted to change, but feared he couldn't. If Bogart really wanted to change, he wouldn't have sent his love away. He would have held on to her for dear life. Because I think love is change. Or at least I hope so.
It's not Bogart. He has a name. Like, how are you this bad at writing about film?
I know.
Basic stuff.
It's only AFI's number one movie of all time.
Oh, my God. Yes. I've never even seen it, and I know this character's name. Don't think that I'm a Philistine. Also, don't ask how many times I've seen Bring It On, because it's a lot. Let's close it up. By naming our episode MVP. I'll say Jack.
I'm going to go with Jack too.
He stuck up for himself very well and very firmly, very realistically, maybe not, but it was still good to watch him do it.
Yeah, and he looks good. Like the Tintin hair that was... a plague upon us all back at that time. Yeah, Kerr Smith can really rock it. So
yeah, suits him.
Whoever wrote Jack, also thumbs up. Well done.
Least valuable player. His terrible fucking dad, obviously. Like, you know, your half-assed over-parenting is just as bad as your half-assed under-parenting, to be honest. Like, this, there was a time to do this, and it's not a week before the end of school, you freak.
Oh, God, seriously. I mean, I have no problem with that. I will also say that I'm going to jump in every fucking custodial adult in the Lindley Ryan clan, because, guys, no, there's laws. Come on.
Yeah, you can't do an adoption return when your child is 16. It's not how it works.
Seriously.
And that's it.
Next time on Again With This, season finale. But there's no end to the horrors that you'll find in our visual aids. That's important screenshots and GIFs from this and every other episode of the podcast. And you will find those at againwiththispodcast.com. As well, the entire archive of episodes of Again With This for 90210 and Melrose, as well as Dawson's, may be found at againwiththispodcast.com/subscribe. And you can call or text us anytime, 210-767-2237. I'm store-bought fence length Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is another hero, Tara Ariano, and she's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. and our producer, David T. Cole's mind is made up. Talk to you next time.
That's not going to work.
Rolling.
Diarrhea feeling.
You ready?
Yeah, she said rolling.
Yeah, rolling.
Oh, sorry. My bad. All right, here we go.
I'm sorry, look, this is all offensive. Forget about it.
No, actually, it's probably a good thing. I should talk about it, so.
Hello, everybody. It is time for a podcast. Yeah, it's again with this. Dawson's Creek, Season 2, Episode 21. Let's do that over.
What? Why?
You're obviously intoxicated, officer. Somebody screen grabs her right now. She's very fed up with everything that's happening here. All right, here we go. Everybody shut up. Especially sir.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
This Independence Day, wrap yourself in comfort and freedom with Minky Couture. From stars, stripes, and snuggles to cozy classics, our luxury blankets are proudly made to comfort. Whether you're watching fireworks or hosting backyard barbecues, be proud to be cozy all summer long. Celebrate comfort. Celebrate freedom. Celebrate you. Shop now at minkycouture.com and make your 4th of July unforgettably cozy.